Go, Alison, go.
So, thinking about artist gallery, and you mentioned Pete Owen doing a show there. Was that one of the final shows? Where was that in the programme?
Oh, I think it was halfway through. I think it was show 5 or 6 out of 11 shows, I think.
Do you think what you actually did with artist had any sort of lead on influence to, say, City Racing, which was slightly later?
Well, Pete has said that the idea that, yeah, which was slightly later, City Racing started in 89 and went on to 98 or 99, so they ran for 10 years. So I think when Pete set up with his friend Keith Coventry City Racing, did the first City Racing exhibition, and then it broadened out and there were more of them involved. I think Pete was thinking, I think the artiste experience contributed to his thought process for that. Well, he has said that it did. But this wasn't the artiste experience wasn't the only experience that contributed to thinking that they could do something and call it City Racing. There were other things as well, other exhibitions that he was involved with. And also, I think, broadly speaking, that DIY attitude, do it yourself. Don't wait for gallerists to come and find you. You know, that was part of the ether, part of the way we were all thinking at the time.
So, what about other kind of shows and things that you were involved in around the area, particularly? I'm just wondering, was you involved in the Leighton Artists Group Open Studios at all?
Well, artist, after the gallery finished, artist stayed together, and by that time it was me, Mark, Joe, Rachel, Vanda, Caroline, and Simon. Gary had left. Yeah, it was those people. So we stayed together and we got involved in doing a few other exhibitions. So, for instance, there was an exhibition at Harrow Green Library that we did, and there was an exhibition we were beginning to, we sort of still saw ourselves as a group, and we met regularly in one or other of the houses and made plans and things, and we had ideas, including there was an idea for setting up an art a loan scheme for pieces of art, which actually would have been a massive project and would have needed money to pay someone to administer it. But we never got anywhere near setting that up. But we, there were ideas, things that we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could, loan pieces of art to local public buildings, if we could do something like that. And of course, there were schemes at that around that time that were setting up commercially to do those sorts of things. There was art in hospitals and art for offices and stuff like that. So we were sort of trying to think of ideas and things we could do, and some of it was stuff that would have been much too big for us to put into practice unless we'd devoted our whole lives to it at that time. But there were things that we did, like exhibitions. So we got to know other artist group in the area, other artist groups in the area. Like there was something called Nelia, North East London Independent Arts, who were based moreover in Walthamstow, but they had a temporary art gallery. In fact, it's now permanent, the Changing Room Gallery in Lloyd Park. But I think at the point we knew them, it was a temporary space, and they used to run programs of exhibitions every summer. And we did a group, an artist went and did a show over there for a week or 2 weekends or something one summer. And so we did a few things like that. And at the same time, so we still very much saw ourselves as a group. And then Leighton Artists Group got going. Also in the Northcote pub, I believe, one evening. And I think we saw ourselves as separate groups. And after probably the first couple of years, I didn't really get involved with Leighton Artists Group. But then I did get involved at some point, because I was involved in two different open studio events that were Leighton Artists Group organised, and I did put slides into the Whitechapel. Whitechapel wanted slides from all the artists who were involved in the area for one of the open studio events. So, yeah, I mean, maybe not originally getting involved with Leighton Artist Group because we saw ourselves as doing our own thing. But yes, I mean, after a while, it didn't matter, and everybody could be involved, and that was good. That was fun. I had an exhibition. Ah, yeah, I've forgotten something. For a few years, probably 2 or 3 years, I had a studio at 121 Philibrook Road, which was a house that I never lived in, but was my friend, another Acme house, but my friends John Petanuzzo, Sally Barker and Paul Noble lived in that house, and I rented a room from them. That probably went on for 2 or 3 years. I can't remember exactly how that slots in with all the information I gave earlier, but that was a studio that I had regularly for at least 2 years, I would say. And the open studios that I was involved in were, one of them was when I had a studio there, and another one was probably more when I was living with more one of the Dyers Hall Road houses, probably. Yes, I remembered being involved in 2 open studio events, and yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that would it have been 1990?
Well, I think it was early 90s. I think it was very early 90s. Probably, I've got a feeling one of those was 92 at least. Maybe 93, 94. I think the last time I was involved in Leighton Artist Group Open Studios was maybe not. It was after the, I don't think the Whitechapel was so involved with it all.
So
somehow
that would have been from 1990 and probably 1992, because those were the shows that were linked to the Whitechapel Art Gallery.
And what I'm saying is there was another one after that which probably isn't recorded in that way. And okay. I think I did probably, it was probably 92 and 93 or 92 and 94 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I think the last one was less on the map in terms of it didn't correspond to what, it didn't match up with the Whitechapel because they weren't doing that anymore. But yeah, we did do another Leighton Artist Group Open Studio. I sort of remember that, the last one, me, myself and Amit Benzvi, who was living in one of the houses at the time, sort of did a lot of organisation for the last one, but I don't think that was anything to do with the Whitechapel. We produced a leaflet and which had an aerial photograph of part of this area, because at that point we were getting very close to when the road was coming through. And so we, on one side of the leaflet there was a diagram of the length of the road and where everybody's studios were, and on the other side there was an aerial photograph of part of this area that was going to be changed by putting the M11 link road through.
Did that have a title?
Just Leighton Artist Group Open Studios. It's a red and white printed leaflet.
And did you have any studio visits? Because you mentioned you sold a piece of work, I think.
Studio visits?
Yeah.
How do you mean?
People from galleries or...
Did anyone ever come to see me? No, because I've got absolutely no... I don't think anyone ever came to see me, no. In that way. I never really tried to promote myself in that way. So I didn't really put feelers out. I stayed, in terms of exhibiting, I stayed doing things quite locally and getting quite involved in educational type work rather than getting involved in the art world.
So how did you support yourself around that period of time?
Working part-time. I had various part-time jobs. Early on, I had... There was this programme called Community Programme, which was another employment programme, and I did 2 jobs with them, one in the museum in Stratford, Passmore Edwards Museum. Well, it was based there. It wasn't actually... It was run by another organisation based there. And these jobs, these employment schemes would go on for about a year. And then after that, I did another one after a 2 month gap, which was probably not the way it was meant to work. But I did one as an admin job in a community centre in Islington. And then I got a proper part-time job in a admin job in a housing association in Camberwell. And then I started doing things like play work and stuff like that on the back of sort of community projects that I'd done originally under the banner of Art East, really. And because I'd always been interested in using art with children and people and stuff. And so admin jobs and playwork jobs, all very part-time, and playwork jobs were definitely sessional and occasional. And then one day, Sharon Hall, who lived in one of the Acme houses, an artist in one of the Acme houses, who taught at the art school in Hull, asked me if I would do a talk about the Art East Gallery for her third year fine art students as part of their Life After Art School programme. So I went up and did that. And I tried to write out what I was going to say, but it was very difficult to write it all out. So when I got there, I had my slides and I threw the script away and just talked. And it was a real... And they were very responsive. They asked lots of questions and were quite inspired. So that experience made me think that possibly I could teach. So then I went and did a one-year teaching qualification for further education. And after that, I didn't get a teaching job immediately. I did a museum education. I did some museum education work at the Victoria and Albert Museum through a contact that I had with someone, Teresa Wilde, who lived with an artist called Stuart Reed, also in one of the Acme houses in Leytonstone. She was involved in museum education and she put me in contact with them, and I got a temporary job with them, and then the temporary job ended, but I had lots of other part-time bits and pieces at the V&A over quite a few years, and more play work with other organisations, and began to get involved in working with children with learning difficulties. And then eventually I got some teaching work at Tower Hamlets College, very part-time. And then I had a period of time where I had three different part-time jobs a week, so I can't have been making many paintings then. And then all that changed, and then I just had a part-time teaching job at Tower Hamlets College, and I still have. So it all simplified after a couple of years of being, well, maybe more than a couple of years after a while, being manic. And...
So with you, it sounds like you almost had work right the way through.
A few periods of time signing on, and I never did Enterprise Allowance Scheme, which is what a lot of people did. I always tended to have part-time work. And then a bit of time later on when it was full-time work, because I had three different part-time jobs a week, and that must have been full-time, actually. Must have added up to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. That's how I survived.
Yeah. And you've sort of talked quite a lot, really, about the artist community. I wanted to ask you about the local people, because you mentioned in Homerton people sitting outside. Did you ever see that here?
Well, not like that. No, I don't think people here in this particular community sat outside the fronts of their houses on a sunny day. I think the culture here was to sit in your back garden on a sunny day. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think people ever sat in their front gardens along here, no.
Oh, because they did in Colville Road.
Oh, in Colville Road, yes, definitely. They did. That was much more out in the street, sort of. Yeah, now that was well known, yes. But that was kind of... There were a couple of families down there with kids, and so the kids would play in the street, and they had street parties down there, and I remember going to those sometimes.
Was it similar in Claremont Road? Because I'm thinking they're both streets which loop off.
Well, in Claremont Road, where I lived for a year, I don't remember when I was living there, people being out in the street on Claremont Road. But I do remember later on, when I wasn't living there, but when I was involved in the early stages of campaigning against the in the final public inquiry, we did an awful lot of fundraising and jumble sales, and there were parties and stuff, and we were getting our campaign together. And we did do at least one street party on Claremont Road, because you could cordon that road off quite easily. And I've got photographs showing all sorts of people out on the street in Claremont Road. And this is way before it became the famous protest later on. That was a whole other group of people. I mean, obviously some of the same residents still there. But, you know...
Ask you what year that was.
Well, roughly. It's so difficult to say. I mean, what jumps into my mind is 89, but I might be wrong about that.
Was that the festival, the campaign... The No M11 Campaign Festival, which was linked up to the Northcote with the cabarets and the music and stuff.
Well, I think it was earlier than that. I mean, yes, Ian Bourne drew that logo, I think, Stop the M11 Link Road, No M11 Link Road campaign. And that was for the public inquiry, the final public inquiry. And I think that was 1989.
So what logo was that? Was that the one with the people pushing?
No, this is the car coming. God, what did it look like? I've got a T-shirt upstairs with it on.